I don't know if it's a culture thing. I don't know what's the problem, but everyone is so tied up and no, it won't work. It's easier to say no than yes.
There's a certain notion that we can't create these great big things from scratch within the islands.
Yes.
That anything of any high significance has to come from outside.
The modern workforce or workspace should be flexible.
Yeah.
I'm never going to tell you need to be here and there and that. The only thing I'm going to tell you is deliver what you say.
Sean, how are you doing? How's everything?
I'm good. How are you?
Awesome. Great. Happy to be here.
Welcome to St. Martin.
Thank you. Beautiful island.
And the trip was good?
The flight was good? Yes, good. Smooth. That was all nice. Right, yes. Not too long, not too short.
Nice. So you enjoying the sunset out here?
I am actually. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah, we got hooked up with this beautiful location to record our podcast in today at the Sapphire Beach Hotel in Coupecoy, St. Martin. So thanks again for that. And this is another episode of Sunside Kingdom. And we're going to get into it with Marwan coming straight out of Curaçao. And you'll have to give those details because there's a bit of technicalities there.
There's a lot of technicality there. Don't you worry. We'll do a deep dive in a bit.
All right. Awesome.
Looking forward.
Let's do it.
People, welcome to the Sunside Kingdom Show.
Thank you to Sapphire Beach Club for sponsoring the location of this episode.
With me today is Marwan Rozier.
Correct. Pleasure meeting.
Rozier.
Depends where we are located. Look, if you're from the French side in St. Martin, I think it's going to be Rozier.
Yeah.
But considering we are on the Dutch side, I think we are going to mention it Rozier.
Okay. Yes. Nice. Welcome.
Thank you.
So it's not your first time on St. Martin, right?
No. Okay. Although it was a long time ago, first time I came here. So I do consider it my first time because everything changed.
Yeah.
From the last time I was here.
Well, your first time as an adult.
You can say so.
Yeah.
Yes.
So then that experience will be a lot different. Yes. So let's get a quick little highlight, the elevator pitch. Who is Marwan?
Who's Marwan? So born and raised in Curaçao. Did the traditional middle school and Dutch system. And then also VSBO. After that, I did my HAVO, finished that, graduated, and then I went to the United States to study. So it was a change compared to most of the people from the islands. They go to Holland.
Yeah.
I've decided to go to the United States, which was, I'm really happy I did it because I saw another part of the educational system, universities.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, I did my international business. I'm the international business bachelor, and then I did my master's in finance. During my master's in finance, actually, I was doing a lot of trading, research as a junior analyst. And then I stumbled upon the word fintech. That's how I was like, what is this?
Right.
Because we know banks doing financial things and then fintech, okay.
And you know the banks back home, maybe at that time, you're like, tech and banks don't really go together. So what is this fintech stuff?
Exactly. So then I remember very clearly I was super interested. I was digging very deep into this topic, understanding, and all these startups was actually coming up, right?
Yeah.
I remember the shift while I was in the States where we still had a POS of Bank of America. And then a random company called Fiserv came along, or Stripe came along.
So when we say POS, that's point of sale,
the point of sale, the terminal you make the payment. So I saw the switch happening while I was doing all this research. The word fintech was popping up more and more. So I was like, okay, this is, you know, the next big thing.
So what years are these?
This is 2015, 2014. Yes. So I decided I'm going to do an internship in a payment company. Right. I figured out then there is payment company. And long it was funny because my father told me, listen, you want to do internship, cool, but this is your allowance and I'm not going to pay more. And, you know, internship at that time, they don't pay.
Yeah.
It's funny because it's unpaid. You know, there's, yeah, you want opportunity, come work, but it's unpaid.
Yeah.
So I was so okay.
That's actually one of the major differences, I would say, with internships in the Netherlands versus the States. Mm-hmm. Most of the internships in the States are unpaid.
Most.
Yeah, there's very exceptional situations where you would get paid for an internship.
Correct.
So students in the Netherlands, be happy because your internships are paid, even though it's very low paid.
It's something. It's something. Still something. Yes. So then I decided I got this internship. Fun enough, I traveled to Croatia. So I was working. Yes, okay. I went to Croatia for this internship where I was working for a company that was developing software for American Express.
Okay.
Very tech, low tier on the processing side, but I'm super valuable and happy that I worked in this company because I understand the core value of payments, which it's funny. People that know payments are going to maybe agree or disagree with me, but the people in banking industry, they complicate things. So the people that understand logic cannot understand it.
Oh, okay.
But it's simple.
So essentially things are very simple, but they use all this complicated language to make things sound way more complex than they are and confuse the people.
Exactly. That's payment.
Disclaimer.
I'm very transparent in that because I'm like, dude, come on. You know, now there is some complexity in terms of security, right? Yeah. All these things that you have to give it to them. But the simple payment is very simple.
Yeah.
If you go back into how payment started, right? So from Barton, I'm going to give you a pack of cider, you're going to give me a drink or whatever it is. Essentially, is that happening all over again. But just now.
So you just tell me, give you a pack of cigarettes, I give you a drink?
For example.
That was a real island example, but probably they were bartering fish and bread back then.
Well, you know, we are on an island, so I have certain things in my head, but...
Nice one.
So going back, right, it's about it's a ledger, it's a wallet, it's a balance, you know, I give you this for that, so it all goes back to the same thing. Going back, Croatia, did my internship, went back to the States. I knew exactly this is what I wanted to do, and I was set on payments, anything with regards to payments. So I finished my university master's, and then I started Girasol. Well, going back home, I was, you know, you're basically pitching an illusion.
Mm.
That's how I felt.
Yeah.
Because I literally went to all the banks and they can agree, all the banks on the islands. I went and I pitch a product.
Yeah.
But whatever you're pitching, Mr. Rozier, it's not going to happen. No. I'm like, okay, so I have to fine tune. Forget about it. I went and I fine tuned the pitch and I went again and I went again and I went again. I mean, luckily, one bank was like, we want this. So that was my first product, basically. It's a Paga Facil bill payment product, which is right now one of the largest bill payments on the island.
Mm-hmm.
It's a closed loop system, right? Because it's not connected to anything external. It's literally from operator to the merchant and settling centrally for the bank to do the settlement. It's the core of payments, but it's very simple. It's closed loop. We launched in 2018. I knew exactly I want to do more because this is step one, but I want to do more.
So when you say closed loop, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my profession is a UX designer.
Okay.
And I work with a lot of technical people.
Mm-hmm.
And also a lot of the projects that we do are very technical. So I fully understand what closed loop means. But break that down a little bit for persons that might not understand.
So... closed loop payment right now, today, right? I have a wallet.
Mm-hmm.
We are on the same wallet. I have 100 guilders, dollars, whatever, and I'm going to send it to you, right? This closed loop means no one from the outside. I cannot go pay to any merchant because the merchant is not accepting this closed loop. It's closed loop. It's not an international. It cannot go. It cannot leave the system.
It can't leave the system.
It can't leave the system. It's internally.
So whatever the system is, it has to. The money has to flow within that system.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a closed loop system. So open loop is the MasterCard, is the Visa, American Express. Those are
you can pay anywhere in the world.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Most wallets start at closed loop, and then once they attach a branded card network to it, it becomes open because you can, you know, move your money away. So that's in a nutshell, closed loop, open loop. So the first project was a closed loop system, mega success. I'm super happy about it. It went good. It basically, you know, made me start, or yeah, allow HeroSoft to start and then create credential and, you know, allow everyone to see what we are capable of. And then we went again to all the banks because I told them, okay, I delivered this, but now I want to attach it, that I want to be able to connect it to an open loop.
Yeah, you want to open the loop now.
Right? It's closed, but let's open it. So I did the whole thing to all the banks again, all of them. I remember, I have actually a track record of this, all the presentation, because I was really mind-boggled by...
But you started all this stuff fresh out of college?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Fresh. Actually, while finishing...
Do you believe that also kind of played a role in the no's that you got from the banks that they were saying no?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe, but I honestly think it's nonsense, if I can use that word, because when I was at that age, that's when your brain, in my perspective, is the freshest.
Yeah.
Brings the best ideas on the table. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not perfect, but with the expertise of the mature one, which are the banks, and the young ones, which are the entrepreneurs, up and coming, they have bright idea. I think the bridge, and until today, I still say there's no bridge for those people with great ideas to go and mature it to an amazing functional work. Because we all, I don't know if it's a culture thing, I don't know what's the problem, but everyone is so tied up and no, it won't work. It's easier to say no than yes.
Yeah.
Not even give it a try.
Yeah.
Right? And I experienced this. I went to all the banks. And now I can understand banks are more conservative than others. Right? So I try to understand for them. But still, if you could see, for example, in Europe, if you see in Americas, Latin, North America, the whole Americas, the banks are the ones supporting all these startups.
Yeah.
They support 10. 9 will fill. That one is a hit.
Yeah.
In Curaçao, I don't know about St. Martin, but I want to see how many supportive.
I think the numbers would be similar, maybe even less.
Unfortunately. Yeah. So I'm happy about the banks.
But I do believe that is one part cultural thing. It's one part island mentality. It's
I also agree with that.
It's a thing that, when it's not invented here, or not even the not invented here part, because technically you are trying to invent it there with their support. Mm-hmm. But it's the fact that it's not coming from an outside major corporation. We're not, I want to say they, because I don't believe that. But I am an island person, even though I've been living in the Netherlands for the past 20 years. So I will still say we. That there's a certain notion that we can't create these great big things from scratch within the islands. Yes. That anything of any high significance has to come from outside. That someone from outside has to invent it and then show us how to do it instead of really supporting our own from the ground up to build that. So
unfortunately,
you gotta get past those challenges, guys.
Yes, and I had this talk the other day with some young so we had an intern and he was asking me, how do you do it, right? And one thing I can tell you is just don't give up, because when I went to all these banks, the first round, second round, no, I could have said, okay, done.
Yeah,
it's enough. But you know, I said no. Some eventually we need to do it. So we kept on pushing. And every time one bank, and unfortunately all my clients, they were in need. It wasn't like, oh, you know, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. For example, no. They were in need. I need your help.
I need this.
Can you do this? Yes. Okay, do it.
And that's the thing. Like, there's so much potential and so many people really desperately in need to move with the innovation curve.
But now the funny thing is going to come, which I think, you know, I laugh about right now. Those who are in need are those who actually trusted that external company blindly because they're not from they're not local.
Yeah.
And guess what? It didn't go as expected. So now I'm in need because I have debt. I need to deliver. I have this and I need the product.
Yeah.
Can you do this? Yes or no? You have one shot. Right, it's a different type of negotiation. It's a different type of approach, where you said, "Hey, you know, I believe in you. I believe in the concept. let's give it a try. Or I want to do it phase out, step one, step two, step, you know, create a plan together, just like you create your plan as an institution.
Yeah.
Help these young dudes that has vision to create a plan to allow them to try.
Yeah.
So, you know, right now I look back at it and I think it's funny because I learned from how these things work. And maybe it's how the industry works. Maybe
how many years when you say you look
five,
back?
18, five I started years. 18. Yeah, five okay. years. Yeah,
and
right
then,
now.
And then the pandemic in between.
So the pandemic actually was my, where things really kicked off for Hirosou. Yes, because all my ongoing project was instantly put on hold.
Yeah.
I had a team of payroll I have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
I already paid. I've committed. I can tell them, okay, thank you, bye.
Yeah,
bye,
yeah.
Okay. Projects are putting on hold, bluntly, with no excuses, because it's pandemic. We don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So we're sitting and just crossing our hands. So, okay, what now? Okay. So I start reaching out to people, just friends, connection from guys. I want to do this. I want to do that. What can we do? I have people. I have, you know, we're sitting doing nothing.
Yeah.
Let's do something.
Because
doing nothing for me, you're dying, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's where everything connected. We connected actually to MasterCard Labs because we were already working with MasterCard at this moment.
Yeah.
To see how we are going to shape the Caribbean payment ecosystem. But it was very raw, very from, you need a bank. They also tell you need to go to a bank. Yeah, but banks don't want to work with us.
Mm.
It's okay. We can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
So the pandemic came. We were working with MasterCard Labs, which is a separate entity that actually developed things way ahead of time.
So they're kind of like a startup fund?
It's just a team in MasterCard that developed the future. So for you to understand, in 2021, 2020, so when we started, it was almost 2021, we developed Tap on Phone, which I can convert your phone to a point of sale terminal to accept card. You're only seeing that on the market now, being launched. But we developed it a while ago with them.
Yeah.
One example. There's other Track BPS, didn't kick off as we expect, but there's many different projects we did with them.
Yeah.
And that's how we build the trust, right? Mm. We develop and our work ethic and everything. And that's how we actually landed where we are right now. With all the licenses and the system that we have, because we constantly delivered what we promised them. That was one of the main thing, I think. And also, another funny thing because of the banks, when we developed all this technology, right? You developed the technology. You have Tap on Phone. Okay. Now, you cannot roll it out because you're not an acquirer. Mm. You need to go to an acquirer. So banks are the acquirer. Okay. So MasterCard, in this case, are going to go now and they're going to sell it for you because they have all the relationship with all the banks.
Yeah.
Not even them. They were managing or succeeding to launch it, to sell it. And that's when we said, okay, listen, we are going to launch it. Okay, launch it. Here's your license. Go launch it. So that's how everything connected. Nice. And we became where we are right now as a one-stop shop. Processing, acquiring, issuing. So, you know, you want to issue a point of sale or you want to connect your gateway to process, you can come to us. We can onboard your merchant, or you want to issue a card, you can come to us. We will onboard you as an issuer. If you're BIN, you can basically have your Apple Pay, Google Pay, virtual card, digital card, physical card. You can put your logo on it, customize it as you want, and we process in-house. So,
what do you mean that have your Google, Apple Pay, Google Card?
So you have
so the merchant would have their own card branded, but then what is it? It's a MasterCard.
It's a MasterCard. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So you have to understand. It's important to understand the phases, right? So you have a bank right now. If I'm a finance institution, I have my clients. I need to go to MasterCard or Visa for my license.
Yeah.
Simple. I need to go to a processor to process all the transaction because the processor just process. So you need to go independent processor. Then you need to go to a technology provider that will sell you all these cool gadget like Apple Pay, Google Pay, and whatever you want to do, tokenization.
Yeah.
That will then, you can compile these two, three components together. Then you can actually offer a card service on the market.
Okay.
There are three different entities. When you come to us, I was thinking, no, it's a one-stop shop. I will provide you all in one component.
Yeah.
So that's what we actually started building since 2022. And we are rolling it out right now with some clients in the Caribbean.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
So when you say in the Caribbean, in how many islands are you currently active?
Dominican Republic, Curacao. We have a potential client in St. Martin. Those three are the main. And then Latin America. Colombia, we're doing a lot in Colombia. We actually have a neobank, a teen neobank, very cool stuff. So it's like
a what?
A neobank. It's like a digital bank, a challenger bank.
Okay. For it.
Yeah. So basically, it's we can offer a bank account, Colombian bank account, a wallet, a crypto account, everything in one package.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we focus on teeners. So from the age of 10 to 18. Of course, if you're 20-something, you can open that account.
Yeah.
But our marketing concept is on the teen side.
And that's based in Colombia, where you guys are also active.
Yes. So that's in Colombia, what we are doing in Colombia. And it's actually really cool stuff. Finzi, you can look it up. There is a lot of educational Finzi. Okay. Where is Z, like Generation Z, Finzi.
Oh,
yeah.
Finzi. Not FinTech, Finzi.
Correctly. there's a bunch of educational video about how we spend and how you manage your financials. We didn't want to do, for example, you have the famous buy now pay later concept, right? So we thought, okay, I don't want to have these kids starting with buy now pay later at a young age. So we introduced save now, buy later.
Oh, okay.
Right. So you want to buy something, we can buy it, but we will generate an automated purchasing plan where you can save money accordingly to buy it. So you're not never in debt with yourself.
So then from your, let's say, your current account, your checking account, there's an automatic payment made to
a specific sub account to buy this.
Specific, so how many different sub accounts can
you can have as many as you want.
Okay, yes. So they can be like, okay, this is for my new iPhone.
Yes, this is my vacation, my this, my that. Yes.
Nice, the different buckets.
Yes. So small things that, you know, gives value to a financial application.
Yeah.
Because a bank is a bank.
And gives value to the user.
Because that's our core. That's
the core. You really studied what the user needs are.
Correct.
And even some of the needs that they might not know that they need, but knowing that they can run into these traps later, you're trying to help also coach better financial literacy and a healthy financial balance. Awesome.
So that's our focus in Colombia. And then we are, for example, in Uruguay, we're doing, it's like an affluent client program. I'm very specific. Those clients just want their own brand. Some people just want their own brand. Like, for example, you want a John card. We can support a John card for you. You know, like things like that. So
we need a Sunside Kingdom card.
For example. So it's very broad. You have the issue and acquiring and the process. And so it's really a broad aspect of business, I would say.
Yeah.
Broader than people think.
Yeah.
Definitely. But I enjoy it. It's something that I tell people, if you don't sleep, dream it, wake up, think about it. You know, if you don't do that every day on what you like, which in my case is payments, you're not in the right field.
Yeah.
Like you need to, and it comes down to what are you passionate about.
Yeah.
So that's for me really important to be passionate about the topic that you are interested, right? And payments is something that I think grasped me since I was 19, and until now, I think I'm still
in. So how old are you?
29.
Yes. All right.
Yes.
So sub 30.
Last year, I just turned 29 in July. And
how many staff do you currently have?
So we have, we are five in Curacao, four in Brazil. We have a team in Brazil, in São Paulo as well. And then we're about 10 in, so like 20, I would say.
Okay.
Full time. There are some part time.
That's a pretty sizable company.
It's a sizable company.
Yeah.
So the Colombian team takes a lot, but they are, because of the B2C, they're the only one that does B2C.
Okay.
It's our only product that caters directly to consumers. All our other products are
Finzi,
correct. So they're a big team because it, customer support. Yeah. So it takes a lot. And the other ones are B2B. It's more tech or back end support.
Yeah.
So that you can delegate faster between everyone. So yeah, I think that's why the main chunk of the big team is from Colombia. But then we have sales in all over. Basically, we have in Mexico and Dominican Republic as well. Okay. Just sales.
Yeah.
We believe, or I believe, that the modern workforce or workspace should be flexible.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm never gonna tell you need to be here and there and that. The only thing I'm gonna tell you is deliver what you say.
Exactly. Right?
This you tell me Friday I'm gonna get it. Make sure I get it Friday. If you wanna work in your Porsche or your terrace or your house or wherever you want to work,
yeah,
feel free, right? You're flexible in that sense. Yeah, but just be honest to the company.
Yeah,
right.
Transparent, honest
to the company. We don't have really vacation days. You need to ask for vacation days. Of course, you need to notify, you know, that you're not in office.
Yeah.
But just don't abuse it, right? Yeah. Know what the company is doing. We're a startup. We're a small company, and we need to work together to grow and be bigger. So that's something I really stress about. But other than that, it's very flexible, very lenient, because I believe in that.
Yeah.
I think it increases the productivity in the office and the work culture, especially.
Awesome, awesome. So where in Curaçao are you guys based?
So our office is in Otrovanda.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was just thinking, which side is Otrovanda again? It's on the other side.
It's on
that's literally the translation, right? Yeah. Other side.
Correct.
And so it's not on the side with the little famous Curaçao houses,
no,
right?
That's on Los Cada and the other side. Yeah, yes.
And there's another name for that area as well, or the area right behind it.
You have Punda.
Oh, Punda.
Punda is the main downtown, yeah, where Handelskade is, where the beautiful houses are.
Yeah.
There's Punda. After Punda, if you continue, you get Pietermaritzburg. So those are the two districts, Punda, Pietermaritzburg. But then if you cross the bridge in front of Punda, then you go to Otrovanda.
And you go to the other side, Otrovanda. Exactly.
So we are in Otrovanda, small office. Again, because we are very flexible, we have a flexible workspace. We don't get a lot of people that come to the office. I love going to the office because I'm more productive, but not everyone wants to do that.
But now I'm realizing that I started by saying, let's go with a small introduction, and we went straight into the story.
Hey,
so let's rewind a bit. Mm-hmm. Let's get into how little Marwan spent his days. So where were you born?
Curaçao. Yes. I was born in Curaçao.
And parents?
Parents. So my mom is Arubian, but she was born in Curaçao, but her parents are Arubian.
Yeah.
And my dad is Curaçao. Both. My dad's dad is a bit more on the Dutch side, though.
Yeah.
And my grandmother from my dad's side is local.
Yeah.
So I can say pretty much Yuli Curaçao, we call it. Born and raised in Curaçao.
And Yuli Curaçao is like the youth or the child of Curaçao, right?
If you translate it literally, yes.
Yeah. But that's for the English listeners. I know most of us in the Dutch Caribbean know Yuli Curaçao.
But it's funny because actually...
it's about 5 years ago, I think, when the last time I might have been in Curaçao what you call those people again? The ones that you meet on the airport when you first get in, before you go through customs.
Yeah, immigration.
Yeah, immigration.
Yes.
It's been a long day. Yeah, so the immigration folks were like, you the Curaçao? To pick me out of the line. Like, don't go in the line with all the international people. You the Curaçao? Assistant Martin. Oh, bong, bong.
Yes. What I want to say is, you go to Latin America, you don't say hijo de Curaçao. You know, it's curaçaleño. Right?
Yeah.
Yuli Curaçao. Born and raised there. Spent most of my childhood there.
And then the time that you spent in America for your studies.
Correct.
Bachelor, master's.
Correct.
And you said before you completed your studies, you were already pitching your business idea.
Yes. So my last year of my master, so I was doing the accelerated program. So in 1 year, so it was full day courses. My curriculum was really intense, but I was already aware of what I wanted to do. So I would start working, preparing, pitching. I'm talking to other people in the market to understand, you know, what I need to fine tune. Mm-hmm. So I invested a lot of time in my last year of master's actually to prepare for the startup.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. So you mentioned July. When in July? Is that towards the end of July or beginning July?
Of birthday? Beginning July 3rd.
July 3rd.
Yes, okay. Yes.
I won't get into the horoscope talk on the podcast.
I'm cancer by heart. It's funny, like, I had someone asking me this today, earlier today.
Oh, yeah. you know any famous cancers?
Oh, no. You're asking too much now.
50 Cent is one of them.
Oh, interesting. Cool. I used to love 50 Cent, actually. Yeah. I mean, I still like him. Smart businessman. I like it. You know, smart. He converted the rap game to a businessman. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. He innovated.
In the entertainment show business, yes. Doing a lot of different things.
Smart. But he did the crazy deal with Smartwater. Right? Was it Smartwater?
Yeah, that was the first big crazy business deal. Yes, and that was the first hip-hop business deal that was not hip-hop. Because at that time, so I'm about 10 years older. So I lived through that era as a teenager. Jay-Z had the record label. Mm-hmm. Then, Puff Daddy had the record label. Mm-hmm. After the record label, then they went into clothing. Mm-hmm. And then you just saw everyone sort of following the same formula. Correct. Okay, get the record label, get the clothing company, and then.
But 50 also did that because he had the whole G Unit clothing, and that was
He had the record label, he had the clothing, and then out of nowhere he was selling bottled water. And that was like, what? Hip hop, we don't do this. This is not the formula. This is Formula 50.
Smart.
And he definitely did a lot of different moves, and always kept it true to himself.
So, that's smart. No, I like this stuff. I like this stuff. I mean, we're going a little bit into a change of topic, but what I liked the most was he had a challenge with Kanye to stop rapping, and then Kanye won, right? And he stopped rapping. But I think he scored bigger than Kanye eventually, if you look at career-wise, right? Yes, Kanye did score big with Yeezy, but if you ask me right now, you know, with all the drama and all the chaotic things going around, I'm looking, leaning towards 50 in that sense a little bit.
So if we look into to the crystal ball of the future, what is 39-year-old Marwan doing?
Good one. I think still in payment, but not. How can I explain this? So right now I'm really paving the way still. I'm building the foundation, you can say I have a lot of ideas and innovative concept that I want to start working on I think in the next year or two, because after this pavement it's about selling, it's about getting clients, right? So we work hard on getting all the licenses needed, we work hard on preparing the framework on how we're going to sell, what is our value proposition. That's all being done in the last year and a half. So I think another year of this to make it really solid. But then I want to go into more attributive payment solution. So what I mean by that
is attributive payment.
Yes. Solution. So you have the core, right? This is the core. This is the process. Mm-hmm. Alongside, I just explained, you have like the card issuing, licensing, blah, blah, blah. You have to acquire in the POS, okay. Mm-hmm. But now you can go a step further, right? Mm-hmm. Where you, like, for example, you're combining two different components and packaging for a very specific niche of people, right? Let's think about for now, it's a very simple example. Let's think about an airline industry, right? You have all your steward and steward, all your workers, people work on the airline. Mm-hmm. Okay. They're from all over the world.
Yeah.
Right. What if they have a car where they manage it centrally for everybody? Right. For the airline, it's perfect because now everything is centralized and it's an open loop system because that person can actually, that person can actually use the funds anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now that same person or that same platform, right, you can connect it to a, let's say, a lending institution that if that person wants a credit line or wants any type of finance, they can get it also from this system. Right? So
yeah,
this is just one example, right? Yeah. I you have, for example, right nowadays, something that's becoming very famous is a payslip model. I don't know if you know already.
Payslip model.
Yeah, so you have gig economy.
Yeah,
gig economy, economy, right? So a bartender working every day in the bar, that bartender is making, just assumption here, $10 an hour. Mm-hmm. Okay, what if we can pay him the $10 at the end of his shift and not at the end of the month?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Should be possible, right? Because he worked 8 hours, $80, here you go, done.
Yeah.
It's the same things, but it's attributive. It's them constructing it for a specific niche of people.
For a very specific use case, target group, et cetera.
Exactly. We're working, for example, in Colombia, we're working on a P2P lending. Right? You have $1,000, you don't know what to do with it. You want to put it on this marketplace where I need $1,000.
Yeah.
Now I connect with you. You set the term because it's your $1,000, mm-hmm. and the platform is just standing in the middle.
Yeah.
Now you need some. So it's all payments, but it's so like that. I can keep brainstorming a lot of different things, but the core needs to be set.
Yeah.
So that's where I would go, and that's the direction I would go eventually. And apart from that, I think the venture capitalism world also I'm really getting into this right now.
Yeah.
So understanding these startups, listening to the youth or these guys with great ideas.
Yeah.
I don't have the lump sum of the big checks, but you know, whatever I can help with, you know, we always contribute and we always push and we help. I think that's something that I would like to also look into further in the future.
Okay.
Definitely.
Nice. Well, usually I also ask the question of what advice would you give 18-year-old you?
Okay.
And 18-year-old you wasn't that far away.
Nope.
So maybe let me flip the question. What advice would you give 18 to 25-year-olds? So those that are now going through their journey, sort of figuring out and discovering themselves. And it doesn't matter whether they're trying to get into finance or other avenues, but what sort of general advice would you give those persons?
Okay, I'm going to say it, study well. But when I mean study well, is not study in school well.
Mm.
That also, but
yeah.
Study well is like, when you have an idea, great. We all get ideas, right?
Yeah.
I can be walking and an idea pops up in my mind. Okay, assess it, study it.
Mm.
Don't run away and go tell someone the idea
immediately.
No,
yeah.
Go brainstorm. Go in your cave, wherever you're comfortable. If it's in the park, in your room, doesn't matter. Go in your comfort zone and work it out, right? I hear a lot of stories or ideas or concepts that are pitched to me, and unfortunately, I don't like to be rude, but I need to tell them, guys, sorry, but you just didn't thought this. You didn't finish thinking.
Yeah.
You know, you stopped thinking. You're like, okay, I'm done. I'm going to be a millionaire. No, it's not going to work like that. So study the case. Work it out. Invest time in yourself. Like, that's my main thing. Invest time in yourself in all aspects, right? I believe very strongly in a balance in life.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to go to school, study. Mm-hmm. You need to do some type of exercise, right? Mm-hmm. If it's a sport, if it's a gym, something, because that's for your muscle.
Mm-hmm.
You need to read a book, right? It can be a magazine, it can be news. You have to read something. And you need to close your eyes sometimes and just think inside.
Mm-hmm.
You can call it meditate, you can call it pray, you can call it whatever. I believe in these things. You need to do it to keep your body balanced.
And right? This is something that you've incorporated in your life from when?
Yeah, good question. So I will say before I left the States, so this is like 17.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's
That's
a 17-year-old that was already pretty thoughtful.
Well, it's, I will say life circumstances. So fun fact, I have HAD, I am dyslexic, and I have light autism. Mm. So when I went to school, I remember, so in middle school, no one cared about this because it wasn't famous.
Yeah.
High school, they noticed that I never used to finish my exams. Mm. So they sent me to the old tests, psychology, whatever. So the reports came and guess what? You know, so they guided me how to work it out. But for me, it was more like mind opening because I came to understand myself better.
Yeah.
right? And yes, sometimes I jump from one to the other because my brain just works like that. But yeah. because I know myself, I can work with my mind to actually yeah. go in the direction I want to go. So this is where meditation, you know, you call it meditation, you call it yoga. Just for me, close your eyes. Close yeah. your eyes, close your mind mouth, close this. Your mind. Yeah. And just shut everything down for 15 minutes and extend it for 30, an hour if you can too.
Yeah.
It helps. It helps immensely. People don't understand the power of that. You go to the gym to work your muscle, right? Mm-hmm. Why don't you work your brain out?
Yeah.
That's my philosophy. So keeping the balance again in this part. And one other part is your social life. You know, you can stay in your home because you're introvert, which is yeah. fine. But socialize, talk to people, share ideas, you know, have friends. Like, it's all part of life. You need to have the balance to actually, in my perception again, I'm not going to tell you what to do. But I think to be comfortable, to be truly happy, you need to have this complete balance in life. And I have implemented this in my life in a very early stage, which allowed me to... Like, I can easily say I had a very smooth college career, right? I'd never struggled. I mean, I struggled, but it was smooth because, you know, I knew my friends. I knew when I was partying or social life, I knew, okay, now it's time to do work. Now it's time to go to the library. It's lock mode, study mode.
So what I'm kind of hearing here is a lot of the early challenges during your teens forced you to create yeah. more structure yes. in order for you to be able to succeed. And because you created that strong foundation of structure, yeah. then it allowed you to touch on all those different aspects of your college experience and still have enough energy to be focused and be yes. successful there as well.
Yes.
And based on all of that, I'm just hearing that carried on throughout your career yes. as well.
Yes. And mastering, right? We're trying to master every day. You want to be better than the day before.
Yeah.
Right. So we are not perfect, but you want to be better every day. So if you have this, again, I believe if you have this in your mindset, like at the end of your life, mm-hmm. you can look back and you can say, damn,
no regrets.
Exactly. No regret. So that's really and funny thing, because a lot of times, you know, you are actually thinking about these things, mm-hmm. right? But we were, and you question yourself, is this the right thing? Mm. Right? Am I actually doing it right, or am I wasting my time?
Yeah.
But then that's where the social part comes in, because then you talk to other people and yeah. you see their struggle, and then you advise them, and then they, you know, counter advice or whatever. You have a dialogue about it, and most of the time you can see that, hey, if you maintain a balance, right, mm-hmm. nothing too much is good.
Yeah.
Too much of anything is good. Exactly. No good. So yeah. if you keep a balance in life, I think you will succeed and you will be very comfortable with yourself. And that's where everything starts, right? You can be insecure. You can be, you don't walk ahead of life. You're not constantly thinking in the future. You're not thinking in the past. You're thinking not today. And then that's the key that I carried on. You can say that I am where I am today. Let me put it like that.
Awesome. Awesome. Marwan, this was an amazing conversation.
Thank you.
I'm glad to meet you.
No, this, likewise, man. Likewise.
Like I mentioned off camera, this is actually the first interview now that I've done where I don't have like a bit of a personal history yes. with my guest. Yes. So it's been amazing to hear your story. And I mean, as a young man coming from the Caribbean, already have achieved all that you've achieved. And it sounds like there's a lot more in store. So we look forward to continuing to see how the career progresses. Any final words for our viewers, folks at home? Or wherever they're at in the diaspora, in the States, in the Netherlands.
Honestly, go get it. Go get it. Don't be afraid of anything. Life is very beautiful. Make the best out of it.
Yeah.
Right? I believe in that, right? If you're working, you're liking your work, do it the best possible. Just do your best. Do your best and go get whatever you want to get. Nothing, and going back, no regrets.
No regrets.
Right? You do it. You do it well. You can never regret anything you do. So I think that's the key, and that's what I will always tell anyone standing in front of me having this type of conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome, man.
So thank you again. Sir. Thank you. It was a pleasure, and I think great conversation.
Awesome. Guys at home, that was it. One, another episode in the bag of Sunside Kingdom Show. We would like you to please subscribe, like, share with a friend. I think that's important to do. Share with a friend. These conversations need to be shared amongst our Dutch Caribbean community, wherever they are in the world, whether they're on the islands, the beautiful islands that we call home, whether they're somewhere in the diaspora, in the Netherlands, in the States, other parts of Europe, in Asia, wherever they're at, in Africa, wherever you're at. Share with the folks, and let's get the word out, and let's continue to smile, have a great time, and live life with no regrets.
No regrets.
Thank you, baby. Bless.